For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right where Nick was talking about. I've always looked at that verse and taken it just as it is. And in connection with the verse he also quoted in Romans chapter 5, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's being gathered in the name of Christ and unto his person. We talk and we make much about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're gathered unto his person, you're also gathered unto his name. It can't be without it at all. But he is the attraction of that. And whenever the discussion comes up about assembly discipline and assembly decisions and so on, sometimes people get lost in that this talk about authority, that there is authority. We don't have intrinsic authority in ourselves. But why is there authority in a place that is truly gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on the ground, truth, and principle that there is one body? It's because he's there. It's him. It's himself. That's the power. That's what makes the difference. It has nothing to do with us. And in recognition of that, that it's him. And as our brother was saying, talking about his two sons having a conversation back home, it's their father's house. It's not their house. And when that's thought of, it's because of him. And when the Lord Jesus is seen in that way, I grew up in the assembly, and certainly I didn't know very much about those things. I heard them as a youth, and as I grew older and began to grasp hold of them as time went on, and learned from many who have taught and began to get a hold of that, you get a little bit better understanding as time goes on. But that it's him, that he's there. You know, Scripture tells us both in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Lord Jesus. It says in the Old that he actually sings in the congregation. In the New, it says he sings in the assembly. The Lord Jesus sings in the assembly? Yeah, he does. And if we know and believe that it is true, that we have been by the Spirit of God brought to some place and gathered in his name and attracted to his person, then we are also gathered unto his name. In practical ways, sometimes in conversations we have with others, as Brother Nick was talking about, there was a dear brother that I knew years ago that I worked with. And he was a soul winner, and he was a Baptist brother, he happened to be, and we had a number of conversations about this subject. And as Nick had brought out and others, I know a lot have had some conversation where people will say to you that, well, you make too much of this, and the same thoughts about, well, if you're two or three Christians hanging out playing basketball, the Lord's in the midst. Well, that's not what Scripture is talking about, as has already been pointed out. But the Spirit of God really does lead and guide, and he does take the Scriptures, and he does draw us, and he would have us go so far. And we only go so far as we're willing to go. So in this conversation, we were talking about this, and the story went along this line. I said to him, I said, Jim, let's make a hypothetical situation. I said, I have dear friends that go to South America and go to faraway places. I've never been to these places, but let's make it easy for you. Belize is an English-speaking country, and you speak English. Let's say you went there to some outer village on vacation, you and your wife. And I know you, Jim. I said, if you had opportunity, you would speak of Christ to those who were there. Let's say in this place there are no churches. There's nothing. All that's known is paganism and nothing of Christ. But you're there. And you lead a soul to Christ, and another, and another, and another, and pretty soon, in a few days' time, there are 50 people who have responded to the gospel. I said, I know you, Jim. You would be rejoicing, be so happy to be there and be doing this. I said, now tell me from Scripture what you would do next. Show me from Scripture. There's no Baptist church. There's nothing. There's no place to go. You've got 50 new people that have come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You've given them Bibles. They can read them. They're there. What are you going to do next? He said, well, we'd form a church. Okay, show me. Well, you got to have a church. Show me. I said, first of all, Brother Jim, you're a Baptist. What would you do next? Oh, baptize them. And we chuckled just like we're chuckling. And of course, and we looked at that and baptized. What would you do next? Form a committee. I mean, we kept coming back that you have to have a church. I said, how about they already are the church? Doesn't the scripture, that we've been talking about that, we had in the meeting before. These new believers, 50 of them, including Jim and his wife, in that city, wherever they are now members of the body of Christ. They are the church in that place. And what do you need to do? Show them from here that that's what they are. Like we've had in the meeting today, in the reading, that this is what you are. You know, you have been born again. The Spirit of God has joined you with Christ who's in heaven. Now you start to show them what this is. Well, what do those people do? What do they do? What says here, they came together and they broke bread. They prayed. They did these things. Well, do we have scripture instruction for them? I said, if you did that one step at a time, you would be following the leadership of the Spirit of God, and those people would be coming together someplace where there was a convenient area. It could be in the field. It could be in a home, in a barn, along the lake, wherever it is. And you would say, well, it says here, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, who is the gatherer? He is the Spirit of God. What do we do when we come together? We do what the Scripture says. What are you? You're members of the body of Christ. You are the church. You're the redeemed. All those things would begin to be learned upon. Things, Jim, I said, that you already know about, but now in a practical way are taking place. Now what do you have? You have the church doing what it's supposed to be doing. It is the body of Christ. It's acting, and you learn, and you begin to learn. You know, I told that story to him because as I was growing up, some of the most helpful things that I learned were from Brother Whitaker and Dan Anderson, who learned those things as they tried to explain to the Africans in Africa simple things from the Word of God and not tradition from church or denominational things. They actually learned as they were trying to teach others. And I remember those stories that they told as they expressed those things from back in Africa. And as one step at a time, the Lord brought them along. Because they were honestly trying to tell new people who knew the Lord Jesus brand new the simple truths in a simple way. And they learned them themselves, going one step at a time, that they are what they are. So when we hear, growing up in Christian homes, if you grew up in an assembly someplace gathered to the name and unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard of on the one body, maybe so many times, it just loses its meaning. The ground truth or principle, and I will say it like that there is one body and not many. That truth that we know, that we've been talking about this morning, that principle is the basis or ground. There is no other. If you come up with something else, when I was talking with this dear brother, I said, you know, if you form something, you have these 50 people. If you make something, you have the same 50 people, but whatever you make is something you make. It may be real Christians, all 50 of them. It's the church. But whatever you made, you laid on top of it. You made something new. And I don't care what you call it, it's something you made. It's something different, other than what the Scripture says. And that's what happens. Right there is where many believers take a hard left or right turn, because they're so used to the idea that you have to do something instead of just taking one step at a time and following it through the Scriptures. So no matter what age you are, when you hear that thought about being gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unto His person, on the ground truth and principle that there is one body, there is only one body. The Lord knows it. He sees it. He knows every true believer on this planet, no matter what group they happen to be with. He sees every single true one there, and they shine out unto Him. He knows who they are, and that body is one, and it is linked together. He sees it. And whether they know it or not, just like Nick says, the Lord does provide for their feeding wherever they are. But if we do follow the scriptures and we do understand truth and we want to obey them, then there are places we cannot walk. And even though you can meet the lovely believers along the way when you travel, I do often in business, it's lovely to have a little moment with them one-on-one when you can. Just before I left, the law firm that I work with asked me to pick up some documents at a business place and take them over to the office. And as I sat with this dear old lady in her office, the son owned the company. She had taken some time to get these documents together, and she told me she'd been ill. So I sat there, and she said, "They tell me I have cancer. I have a large growth next to my kidney, and I'm going to have surgery, and it's very difficult." The first doctor said, "Oh, no, I don't think I can." But another doctor said, "Yes, we're going to operate." And she was frightened. And as we talked, I realized she was the Lord's. And I said to her, "Can I pray with you?" "Oh, yes, please." So we held hands across the desk, and we prayed together as this dear lady, a simple believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a simple statement of faith, and a member of the body of Christ, and we wept together and we prayed as she faced this surgery. And I left, and she thanked me, and I walked out of there and went, delivered the documents to the office. I told my boss, who's a Christian, about it, and he allows me that freedom to be able to do whatever I want when I'm with wherever, and there's no restrictions. That was a member of the body of Christ that I enjoyed a little time and moment with, and I will treasure it as I go along the way. I will see her again, and if it's not on this earth, I will see her in glory. And the Lord loves her every bit as much as he loves any one of us.
Sing number 22 in the appendix.
And 15.